It's interesting, Cliff. Prior to these bevacizumab data coming out, there was a strong sentiment in breast cancer clinical researchers to use sequential single agents. A very common choice in the first-line setting has been capecitabine in clinical research. It was actually more than in clinical practice. And then, Cliff, these data come out with bevacizumab with the previous capecitabine study. Is that a regimen that you're using off-protocol right now, capecitabine and bevacizumab?
I am, actually, sure. I actually look at this somewhat differently. I think that everybody who has stage 4 breast cancer and is healthy enough to get Bev deserves a shot at the drug. I don't buy the argument that it only works first time, and I don't buy the argument that it only works with paclitaxel. And the reasons I say that are what I said before. One, the drug is extensively used with a variety of other chemotherapy agents, so I don't think I have to see safety for a drug specifically in breast cancer to call it safe. There's a lot of 5-FU bevacizumab combination safety data out there forever. And secondly, I always thought that the first Miller trial was a positive signal. There was a doubling, essentially, of response rate and did not make its primary endpoint of progression-free survival. So the third part of this, and I sort of alluded to this, is that you could see two patients in clinic back-to-back who are both labeled first line, but they can have extraordinarily different prior chemotherapy experience and exposure. So I don't like to feel locked into that either. And if a clinician in some community happens to burn through a couple of chemotherapy drugs too quickly because of their own judgment, I don't see why the patient should then be deprived the opportunity to get Bev. So for all those reasons, I do offer it essentially to all eligible patients with a line of therapy at some point.
Hope?
I would echo the general sentiment. I do think we need the data from the ongoing Ribbon 1 and Ribbon 2 trials, which will be very helpful. And enrollment, interestingly, has been relatively slow in those studies, trials which randomize patients either in the first or second line to receive chemotherapy with either placebo or bevacizumab and then allow a crossover. So there's the potential, if we can enroll enough patients before the drug is more widely used, to get quite a lot of information. And there's a menu of chemotherapy you can choose from in those settings. I think when we, again, enrolled quite a number of patients in the capecitabine trial, and we saw really very dramatic responses and very long-lived. Now, obviously, the primary endpoint was not met, but response rate was significantly greater. So, again, I think that you may end up benefiting patients with that type of treatment, and certainly it's not an argument against using capecitabine in combination with bevacizumab or any other chemotherapeutic agent. I think one of the things that's going to face us as we start using bevacizumab more in patients with metastatic breast cancer, we, unlike people in New York, people in California can't get bevacizumab because the insurers don't approve it. I mean, they absolutely across the board don't approve it. But a lot of our patients now are surviving with brain metastases. So the issue is going to be, do we use the drug in a patient who's had brain metastases, leptomeningeal disease, et cetera? The antibody's not going to get into the brain. But there's been very interesting data in glioblastomas recently, and I think that that's going to be an intriguing area of research in breast cancer because so many of our patients have brain metastases to deal with.